You're listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialised fiction written and read by Tansy Rain Roberts. This is part 13 and the conclusion of our magical boy story. Thank you everyone for sticking with me for this one. I know it's been a long, a long serial, and we'll have a brand new story next week. So, part 13. Monday morning reprise. Adulting is overrated. Viola's paper was calm and intelligible and coherent, and none of the professors laughed or scowled at her, except for Professor Schumacher, who had grumpy as his default expression, even when presented with birthday cake. It was a resounding success. She was barely aware of it, because he was here watching her from behind those forbidding eyebrows while she outlined the mythical treatment of a world without magic, according to Hesiod and his later imitators. Every line out of her mouth sounded like a passive-aggressive dig at Chauve, and how he'd dealt with his own world without magic over the past several months. Every line sounded pointed or cruel. Chauve wasn't here to hear it, but he was. Dr. Nicholas Chauvelin, High Quill of the Basilisk Board, approver of scholarships, terrorizer of admin staff, legendary shadowmancer, Chauve's father. He never came to student presentations, never came to faculty events at all, at least for as long as she had been part of the College of the Real. Viola had never exchanged more than two sentences with Dr. Chauvelin on campus. Most of their interactions were at private family events and consisted of something in the line of, "Hello, young lady, and how are you going with your studies?" Somehow, she got through and sat down, hands shaking. Somehow, she sat through three other grad student papers, none of which was as thoroughly researched as her own. Somehow, she survived morning tea and stood as an island with a cup of Earl Grey, swarmed by well-wishers. Many of them had a question about her paper, though they'd not bothered to ask it during the formal time for question and answers. She'd been so terrified that Dr. Chauvelin would ask a question, so relieved and somehow disappointed when he had not. "Miss Vale," he said now, approaching her in her blind spot. The question askers took one look at his glowering face and melted away with polite excuses. She turned. Jules was nowhere in sight, the coward. "Dr. Chauvelin, are you enjoying the conference?" He did not bother to make pleasantries. "I think it's time you and I talked about my son and how to stop him throwing his future away." Then he talked. And he talked. It was Sage who rescued her in the end. Sage McLaren, of all people. He swept past, said, "Sorry, sir, can I borrow Viola for a minute? Vale, Professor Medius needs you. Something about an undergrad meltdown in the foyer, one of your students. Have you back in a minute." And he swept her up and away through the crowd, firmly steering her with that large, comforting presence of his, until she was outside in the back stairwell. Viola choked on the cool, concrete-tasting air, shocked to be free of that awful conversation. "He was saying..." "I know what he was saying," Sage said grimly. "It's bullshit, all of it." "He's treating this like it's some sort of disease, like they can cure Chauve if he submits to more medical tests." It didn't sound like real magic. It didn't sound like real anything. "He's desperate. It's nothing Ferd hasn't heard from him already. That's why he cut off contact with his family. They were talking about blood replacement therapy and some other freaky stuff that's completely against current medical or magical advice. His mother sent him tickets to a Swiss hospice for his birthday." "I didn't know it was this bad." Viola covered her face. It was hard to breathe. "I tried telling him how well Chauve was doing, that he's sorting his life out." "Yeah, they don't care about that. They just want him to fit back into his old life." "Like I did," Viola said bleakly. "Vale!" Jules banged through the stairwell door and joined them on the landing. "Sorry, I thought McLaren had a better chance of getting you away. My mum's been trying to get me to agree to a meeting with Dr. Chauvelin for weeks. Viola's lungs felt tight. Jules. Oh, fuck. Let me have it then. He leaned in. She slapped him hard across the face, knocking him to the ground. Holy shit, what's wrong with you people? Sage said in alarm. Viola breathed. It was easier now. It's the best way to stave off a panic attack. I used to get them a lot at school. Tried and tested, said Jules, rubbing his face. Why is he the one getting slapped? Asked Sage. Would you slap her? Seriously? Even if she asked? Viola bared her teeth at them both. He volunteered. Indefinitely. The rest of the conference was manageable. Viola returned to the lecture hall late, flanked by Sage and Jules. Dr. Chauvelin did not attend the remainder of the day's presentations, but Viola felt herself constantly looking over her shoulder. Afterwards, Sage dragged them back to the Manic Pixie Dream House, with a vague promise of Deck cooking dinner. Viola wasn't sure how she felt about Deck, or his apparently unbelievable spaghetti recipe, but she knew that she needed to see Chauve. She needed to hug him around the neck and say sorry, because the truth was, if Dr. Chauvelin had come to her a week earlier, she might have agreed with him. That Chauve was throwing his life away, that it was concerning how he had cut all ties from his life. She might have agreed to help him get his son into treatment, back into the College of the Real where he belonged. She might have helped his parents gang up on him. But now? Hey, how was the conference? Chauve asked easily, when they got to the upstairs flat. Deck was chopping onions, and Hebe was reading something on her hand mirror. Viola threw herself at Chauve, hugging him hard. Shut up, you're fine, she snuffled into his chest. He patted her on the back. I know I am, Vale. Are you fine too? Work in progress. Hey, would the band be up for playing Winterfest out at Mandrake Sands this year? Hebe asked. That depends, sniffed Viola. Are they planning on getting good between now and then? Ouch, laughed Sage. I apologise for Vale. She skipped 2 years of manners to get ahead on her spellcasting lessons, said Jules. That's okay, said Chauve. We're not looking to change her. Viola raised an eyebrow at him. I'd like to see you try. Mirrorweb submission from Viola Vale to Professor Medius. Would it be worth incorporating an extra chapter in my thesis about positive portrayals of the loss of magic in mythological characters, suggesting that it isn't always a source of epic tragedy? Mirrorweb response from Professor Medius to Viola Vale. Interesting take on the subject. I might have some sources for you. This will increase your workload, though. Are you sure you want to risk blowing out your timeline? Viola Vale. I think it's an essential component to the thesis. I can maybe write less on the romanticisation of magic in early literature. That's a topic that's been done to death. Professor Medius. That sounds like a good plan. Your closing date to lock in your final thesis outline is Thursday, but I can extend that to Saturday if you need more time. Viola Vale. Thursday's fine. I have plans this weekend. Professor Medius. Of course. Friday night at the Cauldron. They've been doing that since I was in undergrad. What's the current The Band like? Viola Vale. Annoying. Infuriating. Noisy. Pushy. Overly invested in my love life. Asking far too many questions about a certain t-shirt. But they're growing on me. Don't tell them I said that. Thanks for listening to our magical boy story. And that's it. The story's done. The completed novella will be published as soon as an ebook, first for my Patreon supporters, and then will be available for general sale. You can follow me on Twitter and Tumblr at TansyRR and at Sheep Might Fly, on Facebook at TansyRR Books, and on Patreon at Musketeer Space. Next week, I'm going to be reading the multi-award-winning short story, The Patrician, from my Love and Roman Punk collection. So I will see you then. Good night.